You know, what we try to do in life, anybody, how many of you have a sin problem in your life? That's everybody. Come on, everybody. You got a sin problem in your life. How many of you have problems with relationships in your life? That's everybody. How many have problems with your work in the church? That's everybody. That's everybody. Everybody. And we it takes us a long time to figure things out. How many of you know that the way to kill a tree is by picking the leaves off of it? What happens if you try to kill a tree by picking the leaves off of it? It grows more leaves. In fact, more leaves and bigger leaves. Have any of you gone out, you know, farmers, you can hire somebody to pick the weeds in your garden. And if he just pulls the top of them off and leaves the roots, those weeds will be right back within 2 or 3 days, and they will be stronger and healthier than they ever were. You can't get rid of weeds unless you pull them out by the roots. And so what happens is, in our Christian life, we don't like to go to the roots. We want to just pick the fruits, but we don't want to go to the roots. And when I'm looking at this chapter, notice the title of the message. It's the centrality of God, not self, in life and ministry. And that basically sums up this whole chapter. I don't know what Western movie it is, but it was John Wayne. And in one of his, I quote him all the time, because somebody asked him what he would like to do and whether he wanted this or he wanted that. And he said, well, my name is Mr. Doesn't Matter. My name is Mr. Doesn't Matter. Well, the problem is that we do matter too much to ourselves and everybody else in a selfish sense. Now, there's a good sense, but there's the wrong sense of this thing. And so I've talked to you about the ugliness on the inside, and everyone here is infected with that. And when we get to the place it does matter, because how we feel and how we think and what we want, then our world just tears apart. When we make ourselves, the glory of God should be the aim of our lives. Ministry to others should be the goal of our lives. I'm talking about everything. I eat at McDonald's a lot. But I go there for ministry. I'm not there to get something from their help. I'm there to minister to their help. And if the hamburger doesn't suit me, that doesn't matter. I'm Mr. Doesn't Matter on that. What matters is the help and the people who are serving me. That's what matters. Amen. I come to church, and I might have something I dearly want to happen, and it never happens. Well, if God is glorified, whether I like it or not, then I've got what I want. You listening? The outcome of everything has to be the glory of God. And things come up in life that we don't like. But the question is, do they serve divine purpose and do they glorify God, whether I like them or not? So, if you really want to be a joyful Christian, make the glory of God the goal of your life, and then it won't matter what happens to you. It matters what happens to Him. It's about Him and it's not about me. Okay? And when it comes to unity in the church, I'm just puzzled beyond amazement at how they're trying to solve racial relations in this country. They don't go to the root of anything. How can you solve racial problems if nobody believes in creation and nobody believes that everybody has the same blood flowing through their veins, and genetically everybody's made of one blood from all, God makes from one blood all nations for to dwell on the face of the earth, and everybody is just as much a creation of God as I am, and it doesn't matter how they look and genetically how it works out in their features. And if I don't know that God loves every one of them and Jesus Christ died for every one of them and every one of them is loved of God, and if they're loved of God, they need to be loved by me. Now, how are you going to solve this problem if you don't know that? So you put in all kinds of regulations, and if I keep these regulations to the T and I don't say any of the wrong things, listen, it's the heart. That's the problem with race relations, is the heart. It's darkness in the mind and hatred in the heart. Am I right? That's the root of it. And so when it comes to unity in the church, you can try to solve this. You've got to behave. You've got to make sure that you treat everyone equally. No, no, no. Equality, treating everybody equally, starts in a heart that loves everybody equally. And if that love isn't there, and selflessness is love, right? We read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning. What is love? Love is selflessness. It's me pouring my life out without cost and charge and expectation into the lives of other people, regardless of what happens. It's me giving my life to other people. That's love. That's love. So if you don't go to the root of this stuff, there's no way you can change the fruit of this stuff. So there was an old Negro spiritual years ago. It said, not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And that's been my prayer many, many times through the years. Lord, I'm the one you need to straighten out. Not everybody in my... Just get me straightened out and my world will get straightened out if you straighten me out. You can help me with this, okay? I need to get straightened out. So when I'm the center of everything, then that makes strife. That means what I think, what I feel, what I want. It becomes the central focal issue in my life. And if I don't get it, then I become upset. I'm unhappy. You go into a restaurant for a nice dinner, and you can pay $45 or $50 and get a lousy dinner. That really upsets me when I pay $50 for a lousy dinner. But the point of the matter is, if that's God's provision for me, I don't have to go out of there upset. If I believe God causes everything to work together for good, I don't have to go out of that place upset. I don't have to live that way. I don't have to be God in my world. God has to be God in my world. And I'm working at it, folks. I'm working at it. I think you live where I live. Help me. You don't? You don't live where I live? You don't live at the same address? So I'm working at it. And it's like cleaning house. You get it one time, and then the next time it just blows in a cloud of dirt. And you got some more house cleaning to do. So, but as the old fellow said, it gets gooder and gooder as time goes on if you keep at this thing, see? And you grow in divine favor and grace. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. So let's take a look at the rest of this chapter. Let's read read beginning with verse number 9. Let's beginning, well, yes, beginning with verse 9. By the way, look this way for just a moment. Look this way just a moment. Something important here. If we're going to get along in the work of God, we've got to understand who we are. We're not rulers and we're not kings and we're not deacons and deaconesses. We are servants. If we get that, if we can just get that. See, even the boss is the chief servant. If we can know who we are and know what our role is, and might not get to the sermon. Got to be careful here, but this morning's message, Jesus lives in us. What does Jesus do in us? What does he want to do in us? What did he do when he was on earth? He ministered, and 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 he made the glory of God. Didn't matter what happened to him, remember? Went to the cross, right? Didn't matter what happened to him. He ministered, and he ministered, and he ministered, and he ministered. If he didn't live that way, we would not be saved today. Correct? We'd have no hope today, see? So the hope of the world is people that will understand Jesus Christ living within us in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we are servants. We're servants in the church. We're servants in our neighborhood. We're servants in the world. Everywhere we go, we are servants. We are meeting the needs of other people. We're ministering to other needy people. Am I right on that? Am I coming through? And this creates an attitude in life where what happens to us, why did you serve me this garbage? Have you heard people that got a bad plate of food in the restaurant? You haven't? You haven't been with somebody? Oh, wow. Wow. If you're God in your world, a lot of bad stuff is going to come out of that. But if you're a servant, and the glory of God is your, and what happens to you doesn't basically matter, and it does matter as far as there are some things that you've got to protect in your life. I understand that. Somebody comes around the corner and wants your wealth and so on. You can protect yourself. No problem there. It does matter what happens to you there. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about these things that make us angry and just get our dander up and just make us unhappy. And we just fume for hours when certain things happen. I'm not going on until I get some honesty. Okay, so this happens in the church. It happens in our families and our homes. It happens at work. It happens at the grocery store. It happens on the roads and highways, on the bus. It happens just everywhere in our lives, see? Okay. So where did I say we were going to start? Verse 9, we are laborers together with God. That's who we are. We're workers. We're ministers. You are God's husbandry. That's God's piece of ground, God's field. You're God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. What master builder, they means the architect. He's the master architect and designer. I've laid the foundation, another builds thereon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, silver, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, can you see here? Help me with this. Wood, hay, stubble. Is there a difference between gold, silver, precious stones, and wood, and hay, and stubble? The stubble is straw. Straw. Is there a difference? What do you want your house made of? Well, back in Corinth, there were buildings made with marble and gold and pearls and gems. They're all in impressive, beautiful, very enormous structures. And with Greek architecture. Verse 13, every man's work, now these are the guys that put this all together, they built this thing, shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be what? Revealed. Okay, by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort, what kind it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We'll stop there. Let's go on with the outline, and I picked it up at verse 12 in the middle of this page. The profound permanent consequences of how we build the work of God. We need to be careful that as much as possible, we build our ministry in the local church on a biblical framework. Biblical principles. The work of the Holy Spirit is always in accord with God's word. Hear this carefully. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you to do anything that is contrary to God's word. That's important. The Holy Spirit of God will never lead you. Somebody said, well, the Lord led me. Well, if it's inconsistent with God's word, the Holy Spirit didn't lead you. An unholy spirit led you, but not the Holy Spirit. There are counterfeits of the Holy Spirit out there. So anything that is not scriptural is not spiritual. Okay? And so we want to, as much as we can, we want to build selflessly. We want to build biblically as much as we possibly can in our work for God. Now, so we have then these three building materials in verse 12. Notice the notes under verse 12. Read along with me. Regardless of building on the right foundation, the character of the building can vary widely. There are a lot of churches who build on the foundation of Jesus Christ who ignore God's word in a lot of areas of ministry. Not good. Not good. Notice the second line, there are choices to be made by the builder. Now, one of the big difficulties, look this way for just a moment. One of the most dangerous things in the ministry that we have in modern times, in the ministry among pastors, is the need to succeed. The need to succeed. Now you say, why is that dangerous? Because if I measure success by the way preachers measure success, I'm in real trouble. Preachers measure success by their buildings, by how many bodies are in that building, by the bucks, by their offerings. And if they don't have a good building and they don't have a lot of people attending, they've only got 20 people attending, they're not succeeding. If they don't have a lot of money in the bank, they're not succeeding. The offerings are not good. Now, if you measure success in ministry by that, boy, I'm looking at that clock. It's my enemy. Somebody tear it off the wall and throw it away. Okay. Stay here now, my friend. In Southern California, I had a godly fella. I think he was an electrician. Grew in grace, discipled, and decided God had called him to into the ministry. So he went off to a Bible college where they taught that if you didn't baptize at least 50 to 100 people every year, you were backslidden. That's how they measured success. So he graduated from that college. He went down to Indio. Now, the culture there is as bad as it is here. He went to plant a church, an independent Baptist church in Indio. And in 6 months, now mind you, starting with nothing, in 6 months he had a congregation of 20 people. Well, in India, you got bragging rights with 20 people. That is really something. And he called me up and he said, I'm quitting the ministry. I said, why? I've only got 20 people. He had a need to succeed, and success was measured by buildings and bodies and bucks. It's a killer. And in order to get bigger crowds, you change the music, you compromise biblical principles, and you fill your church up with people that don't know God's word and are not loyal to God's word. They have a form of Christianity, but it's not totally biblical and never will be because you haven't built it right. You give up basic biblical principles in order to succeed. So when you're building on the right foundation, you've got to be sure that you build with biblical principles. You have choices to make in ministry. Choices to make in ministry. And they're hard choices. Sometimes if there's a moral thing going on in your church and you're going to handle it biblically, it can really decimate your congregation. And I know pastors that have faced that. They'll lose 20 people. And I mean over something that's not questionable. I'm talking about outright adultery being practiced. And people in the church will stand for that and be upset with the preacher when he deals with it, and especially if it's among the leadership of the church. How are you going to build? There are choices you have to make in building the work of God. If any man builds on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, gems, wood, hay, and straw. See? How are we going to build? And in your life, I want to ask you, are you taking shortcuts in your Christian life? How are you building in your personal Christian life? That is so important. Are you cutting corners? Are you doing it right as the Spirit of God is leading you? The third point under that, all the materials listed are legitimately used by builders. Now, this is interesting because some of the choices are not between right and wrong and good and bad, but some of the choices are between what's best and what's not best. So, what are you going to do? How are you going to build? Has anybody here built a house or had a contractor build a house? Anybody here that's been involved in building a house? Wow. Well, you will understand if you build a house. If you haven't, I don't think you know. My Daly City home, I call it a Daly City cracker box. It was a Sunstream home, and if they could have built it cheaper, they would have built it cheaper. I mean, the electrical work was as cheap as money could buy. It was the cheapest thing on the market. Every part of that thing was just as cheap as you could get it. The plumbing was the same way, just as cheap as you could get it. All the fixtures were just as cheap as they made. He picked the cheapest thing off the shelf. And it was a nice home, it really was. Comfortable, and it met our needs. But functionally, it's a lot different today than it was then. I don't know, you ladies, do you still cook? Well, we replaced the cheap oven that burned on one side and didn't get it done on the other side, and we put a good oven in there, and now you can put the cookies in and they're all done evenly. The oven really works nice because it's not as cheap as money can buy. And we put in good plumbing fixtures. It's a totally different house. Now, it was a legitimate house to begin with. How are you building your life? Are you taking shortcuts and doing the cheapest thing, the least costly thing? I mean, you have choices when you build. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have choices in building your life. There's an easier way to do things. There's a harder way to do things. And taking time for devotions, taking time for God, and rearranging your schedule. And by the way, get in on Pastor Pelletier's cell phone lessons. Get your world organized to do God's will and to accomplish divine purpose. It's hard to do that. Come on, it's hard to do that. See, it's hard to do that. But how are we going to build? See? And so you'll notice that the materials used were legitimate, used by builders. The builder can justify using any of them. Give me the nursery thing. Give me the nursery thing about building materials. Come on. Give me the nursery thing about building with brick and straw and wood. Huh? The three little pigs. Little pig, let me in, roll, huffing up, blow your house in. And the house of straw did what? It scattered to the winds. Well, he did, then the next one built it with sticks, right? Little pig, let me in, I'll huff up, puff up, blow your house in. And his house went. But the other one, the other third pig, boy, we respect that guy. He knew that he was going to build him a strong house, something that was enduring. So he built his house out of what? Bricks. Many of you might not even know this one. How many of you know this story? Oh, we're going to have to teach you nursery rhymes in this place. They make good illustrations. And so the third little pig, he built his house with bricks. He made a strong house, and the wolf came. And he said, little pig, let me in, let me in. We're all huffing up, puffing up, blow your house down. And little pig said, have at it. That's not in the nursery rhyme, but that's what happened. And he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed. And that little pig was having a good time inside. So you can build your life in different ways. We can build our church in different ways. Okay? And so we've got to be careful with this. Last point under that, the results are dramatically different. And the cost and process of building are totally different. Now think that one through. The results are dramatically different. And the cost and process of building are totally different. Okay? At the bottom paragraph, without fail, the choices made above will have lasting and very significant consequences. Here and now, and in the day of judgment. With certainty, the divine building inspector. Anybody know about a building inspector? What does he do? A building inspector comes. Carl, what does he do? What does he inspect? What does he inspect? How much of the construction? How, what size nails you use? Framing. What and how it's installed. He inspects everything to make sure that the buyer is not getting cheated. And so, without fail, the divine building inspector is going to come, and it's called the Bema Seat of Christ, where we meet at, and give account for the deeds done in our body before the Lord Jesus. So the building inspector will inspect our building. Now hear me. Hear me. This megachurch thing in our country, mostly, I'm speaking generally now, mostly is wood and hay and stubble. History tells a different story than the present moment. Not all of them, but most of them are doing things they would never do if they weren't worried about how many people came to church and how the offerings went. And I don't want to be critical of these people because they love the Lord, or at least many of them do. But I'm saying Gustavus Schroeder, 130 some years ago, started this church in his living room down here in Geary Boulevard, never knowing how long the work would endure. But to this date, God has blessed this church with good builders. I'm talking about the congregations, because pastor is just a part of that. This church has had marvelous congregations that have loved God and His Word. And that endures. People are amazed that we are still here in this place ministering, and I mean absolutely aghast and amazed across the country. How do you do it? We don't do it. God does it, and we make ourselves available. But you have to do it right, because it takes special miracles and blessings from heaven in order to accomplish this thing. And you are sitting in the middle of a miracle. This is an amazing ministry. Every man's work shall be made manifest. The day will declare it. It will be revealed with fire. Because the fire will test the quality of each man's work. That idea of revealed by fire means burn down. It means the fire comes and everything that's ignitable will burn. And only what won't burn will be left. It'll be a pile of rubble. Now, if you have a home with concrete walls, reinforced concrete and brick and stone, that'll stand. That won't burn up. So the day is going to come and all of this is going to show up. Go to page 2. Let's wrap this up on the top of page 2. This is an interesting verse, and it's hard to put it into English. Notice the word must. It's the moral necessity, the word day. It's a moral necessity that we all appear. Now, that word appear means to you and me, show up. But that's not what the Greek word means. It is a moral necessity that every one of us will be shown and revealed and opened up as to what we really are, so that what's truly there will be revealed as truly there. It means we must all be openly manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. This has got to happen. God cannot ignore. Now, we're going to get a little later on here, and we're going to find out you do not lose your salvation even if you build wrong. But the matter of rewards is based on what we do in our building. And in order for rewards, and God says that he will not ignore a cup of cold water given in Jesus' name, that will be rewarded. In order for rewards to be properly determined, what we do, the house we build has got to be examined by the building inspector to see the quality of our work. So we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may be recompensed, receive back from what we've done for his deeds. And that means our pursuits, what we engage in, our practices. It's not just the individual things we do. This has to do with our pursuits of life. If we are pursuing God's will, I don't care what you see happening, if you're pursuing God's will, that will show up here. That will show up here. That we may be recompensed for our practices, our pursuits, that which we busy ourselves with in life. It's not a deed here and a deed there. It's the direction and the pursuits of our life that are in question here. According to what he has done, that's what we have pursued, whether good or bad. And the word bad here is not the word morally bad, it's the Greek word phallos, and it really means worthless. Worthless. Let me give this illustration. I've done it numbers of times before. You're still awake enough for me to do this? I got some ear. Are you wearing those earrings? That's something else. I got a set of cheap earrings. They were cheap. Sears was having a sale. Sears is going out of business. So I found a $100 set of Sears earrings, sterling silver with a tenth of a carat of diamonds in it. And I decided, well, I won't pass this up. Some teenager might like them if nobody else does. So I bought them. But they weren't like the kind of earrings I'd like to buy normally for someone that I loved. But I bought them because they were cheap. Because they were cheap. That is, the $100, that's and sterling silver, yeah. And I don't know how you get a tenth of a carat of diamonds in anything. It's not much. You'd have to take a microscope to see it. But supposing, which would you rather have? Which would you rather have? Would you rather have a genuine string of pearls? Or would you rather have a string of genuine pearls? There's a great deal of difference of that. Did you catch the difference? Which would you rather have, a genuine string of pearls or a string of genuine pearls? Now, one of them is good and the other is worthless. And there are things in life that look good, they'll pass for good, but they really don't have any intrinsic value. Worthless. So we got to be careful in life that though things are not necessarily wicked and immoral, we don't want to waste our life on worthless things, things that have no intrinsic value. That's what that word means. That's the challenge of life, to invest our lives. And remember, what you're living for, you're dying for. You are literally dying for what you're living for. And if what you're living for is not worth dying for, it's not worth living for. What do you think? So you want to be careful that you give your life to things that have spiritual value. Spiritual value means they glorify God. God gets glory from them. You may not understand how, but God will get glory from them because you're doing it because of your love for him and your love for those whom he would have you to serve. Okay? So life is not about me, it's about God. Church is not about me, it's about God. And they had divisions going on in this church, they had arguments going on, they had a lot of heady pride in this church because it was about them and not about God. And that makes a total difference in life. In every event in life, is it about me or is it about God? Amen? And that will help us a lot. That will help us a lot. As we seek to live for the glory of God.